Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon or morning, whatever the heck it is.
Patrick Manley.
Patrick has some great hair. His hair was sweet, man.
He was a Bear for a really, really long time.
Three things you got to do. You got to snap, protect, and cover. I feel like all three pretty well.
Score Bears pregame host.
Coaches say you got to go find a butt. You run off a butt. You run off, you know, your jersey's butt.
252 games, zero solo tackles, but all of your heart.
The level of leadership that he brought in the sense of camaraderie and teammateship.
Patrick Manley with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Patrick Manley is brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Built Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. Follow him on Twitter at Patrick Manley. He is the WSCR Ameristar pregame host. And it's nice to actually talk about something positive where the fog lifts and the Bears look like a representative NFL team. Where's that been? Where, if you can,
I don't know. It is nice because just, you know, starting to do the post game now, I've had a couple wins in there, but they didn't feel like wins. They just felt like they beat bad teams. That last night was a full team effort. I'm still working through the tape. It's a little late last night coming all the way back from 95th Street up here to Libertyville, but that was a full team effort offensively. You know, as much as we've talked about how bad the entire offense has played, how bad Mitch has played, the offensive line played really, really well. The receivers picked up, they blocked great. The play to Cordero Patterson, there was a blitz that Cordero Patterson was on the inner line of scrimmage. He's supposed to block down to help Charles Leno, so he just leaks out during the blitz. Mitch recognizes it, gets it out to him, and obviously he makes an unbelievable play, and that's kind of what I'm getting at, is everybody around Mitch as well played great. But Mitch recognized it. He didn't hold on to it. He's like, all right, just get the ball out to my playmaker's hands. Hopefully they can make something happen. And everybody did offensively, and that was fun to watch.
Grade Matt Nagy's performance. How much did his play calling allow and help Mitch to get off the chain like that?
As much as everybody is praising Mitch, you got to praise Matt Nagy. I mean, he called a great game, called some great nickel runs for that offensive line. What I love now, and I think I said it last night on the postgame show, is that I like the Mitch that only counts to two, that doesn't count to three or four. You know, just count to two and then use your legs. And yep. I think that's kind of the offense he has now. And he looks a lot more comfortable in it. And that's what Matt Nagy's calling. And it looks very good. And as the game went along, Mitch looked more confident, looked more engaged with his teammates. He looked different, you know, that entire game as well. There wasn't, you know, granted they were having success and you could show a little more emotion with that. But he just looked a little more engaged. He looked like he was happy to be doing what he was doing, and that's kudos to Matt Nagy and his staff.
And showing the willingness to run early changed everything. Mm-hmm. It changed everything. That all of a sudden it seemed that, you know, Rod Marinelli defensive line, and we know how they're coached. They are coached to fire upfield, get upfield, and sometimes it's to their detriment. Bears made them pay for that a couple of times. The Bears made them pay for not really seeing what was crossing their face in the run game, and a lot of that was Mitch. And to not adjust to that, because you weren't game planning for it, so they didn't have any spies. And even the fact that I noticed he was able to run against zone defenses,
yes,
which is rare.
Right, and what he did too was smart, and you see Russell Wilson do it, is pulls the ball down and then got down quickly, right? So now they're in second and eight or second and seven, instead of possibly taking a sack or sitting in second and ten. And talking to Big Cat last night, just the way that feels in an offensive huddle, that all right, we're getting some yardage, we're starting to get ahead of the chains, as the coaches talk about. Yeah, and he just looked very comfortable, and they took advantage of that. And what Rod Marinelli used to always say, Dan, was you stop the run on the way to the quarterback, and they took advantage of that. They had a couple pin and pull plays. They had some very good one-on-one blocks. They actually were moving guys off the ball one-on-one, which was great. There was a nice pancake by Rashad Coward early in the game. They beat up that D-line. That's going to be a very happy offensive line sitting in there with Harry Heastand today watching tape.
You know, Pat, we were talking earlier in the show about how the process that the Bears went through to get to this place wasn't great. It certainly wasn't easy, and it certainly was difficult to watch at times, but they are here now for whatever that's worth, and however long it lasts is kind of up to Mitch and kind of up to Nagy. But for another game, Mitch throws a really terrible interception and then bounces back. In your experience, having been there and been in those rooms, you know, days after games, all that stuff, what does it take from, you know, all 53, from all those coaches to have a quarterback that can bounce back from an interception like that?
I think it's just a person's mental makeup, you know, that understands and has the confidence that they're not going to make that mistake again. And we have seen Mitch make that mistake again, but maybe he's growing and learning. And that's a great thing to see. And again, it's a two-game sample. You know, this is all I've seen is two games. I'll put my coach's hat on, and coaches are never satisfied. Yes, he's had two good games. He's played pretty well the last month. But I still got to see more. Keep putting these together to prove to me that you are a legit quarterback and the reason why you were drafted number two and traded up for. But, you know, it's great to see that. It's great to see a guy. It's confidence is what it is. He's like, all right, I screwed up. I overthrew him. I'll bounce back. And he did. And he's done it twice. And he's gone on to have, you know, really good games after those mistakes. So it's great to see.
You know, if nothing else, this performance changes the way the Packers practice, I think. It gets their attention a little bit, and it takes some reps when they say, well, you know, we have to look at some of these RPO actions differently if he really is going to read the D end and take off more often. When Trubisky trusts his legs, it changes the way an upcoming defensive coordinator does his job leading into the next game.
There's no doubt about it. And then the other thing is, too, just rushing the quarterback. And you talked to Alex Brown and the other defensive ends that you don't want to get behind the quarterback. You know what I mean? Because you get behind him, that means he can run up the middle and take off like he did a couple times last night. So it changes the entire game plan. It changes the way the guys are going to rush the quarterback. It really makes the linebackers and the defensive end be more solid in what they're asked to do when they are reading that. And what that also does is for the O-line is when you have that option now, a true option now of Mitch holding the ball, when you're coming off maybe on that double team between the guard and center, that the linebacker's really going to be sitting where you want him to sit. He's not overflowing to the hole where it would be going to David Montgomery. Now they truly have to sit there and wait. Is Mitch holding on to this? And it gives them better angles to get up there to make a more solid block, whether it's given to the running back or Mitch keeps it.
He's Patrick Bannerly. He's our guest on a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, as always, Mr. 100. You know, it's not all sunshine and roses, unfortunately, for the Bears. Roquan Smith's injury really sounds like it's going to be a good long time. You don't often hear Matt Nagy at the microphone after a game saying it doesn't look good.
You also never, in my career, I've never heard an injury identified as a pectoral injury that has gone on to be something other than a torn pectoral.
Yeah. No, they know that right away. Yep. That's one you just put your hands on. Yep, that's a torn pec. And that's unfortunate. But no, that's just truly unfortunate because he's a young guy and you want more reps out of him. And he's had a really up and down year this year and he started to come around a little bit. So I'm not happy to see that just for his development. And it hurts. And, you know, you've got four big guys out with Danny Trevathan and him and Prince Amukamara, Akeem Hicks. I just don't know. I don't know. Maybe you guys know. You know, Danny Trevathan is not on IR, correct?
Correct.
How close is he to being come back? Because nobody's really talked about that.
I don't know. He was listed as inactive, so that means
right. He's
on the roster.
Yeah, I get that. But right, yeah. So I don't know. Is it something maybe he's a week away like Akeem could be that could fill that void? But I tell you what.
That's a really good question because they've got 10 days now.
Yeah, they've got 10 days.
Oh, but the other two guys play good. Coming up in an hour.
He'll know. But everybody else, that's the other thing about this game, guys. Kevin Tolliver played pretty darn well.
Yep.
Kevin Pierre-Lewis played really well. He's got some speed. He was all over the field. I want to look at it a little closer. I'm sure he made some mistakes here and there, but it didn't really look like that. And then Nick Kwiatkowski is proving himself into a contract.
How did the tight ends get themselves to being part as much a part of this game plan as they were? Like I have to imagine that where Nagy found his openings for those tight ends goes back a couple of weeks into game plans that they put on tape.
Yeah, probably. And a lot has to do, you know, just go back to the screen. With a team like that that's getting up the field as fast as they are, that's one thing you always think you can get away with, and it worked perfectly to J.P. Holtz. I mean, that guy had a great first quarter and a half. The other one early in the game, had a little in route that Mitch hit him on quickly, read him on cover three and just threw it right in there and hit him perfectly. But, you know, I think sometimes you just look at the matchups, you look at the coverages they're going to run, and then you look at the way the D-lines played them, and those screens worked well, and they had a really good game. But, you know, your guy, your Ken Mastrolli Award winner, jumped off sides twice. We can't have that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we're gonna have the
Ken Mastrolli. Talk with him.
Well, the Ken Mastrolli Award Committee, we have our own secret enforcement police.
We do, yeah. Messages have been sent,
yeah,
phone
make
calls.
Sure, he's
made.
Held to a higher standard than the rest, because he should be. The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves Holiday Flex Pack gives you 10 ticket vouchers, a Wolves knit hat and scarf, a commemorative hockey puck, and more, all for one low price. Get yours at ChicagoWolves.com. If I remember correctly, after the opening game against the Packers, there was at least one Packer that said going into the game, their sort of watchword was make Mitchell Trubisky play quarterback.
That was Tremont Williams.
Tremont Williams. He said it. He said, we're going to make Mitchell Trubisky be a quarterback or play quarterback. How can they try to do that again?
Well, that's the thing, is he's not having to play that true quarterback and count to four. All he has to do is count to two. So now they're kind of dictating the tempo. You know, they're going to no huddle on third down, telling the defense, all right, you can't sub. You got to show us who's going to be out there. Matt Nagy's can stay into Mitch's ear until 15 seconds and help him out there. But it's just a different offense. You know, he's truly not playing that pocket quarterback of trying to read the defense pre-snap anymore. Now, to me, yes, there are some plays he's doing that, but now they're dictating what's happening. You know, they're getting him on the move. Now he's a threat with his legs, but it does not look like he has to count to four. Just the other plays to Anthony Miller's just a swing pass. You know, it's like, all right, get the ball out to your playmaker's hands. Make sure you guys are blocking out there. And we haven't seen that as much this year. And like I said at the beginning of this interview, that everybody played a good game, but I think it's a different offense. He doesn't have to play that true pocket quarterback.
Segment brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. Believing is seeing. Schedule your free consultation today. Patrick, after the game, Matt Nagy said that moving Mitchell around and moving the launch point some also helps the offensive line. I was wondering if you could kind of step us through a little bit of the X's and O's of how that really works from tackle to tackle. And as you're doing it, maybe grade out Cornelius Lucas a little bit for us.
I'll start with him. Last week, I thought he played a really good game. And like I said, I'm still going through the tape today, but I thought he played pretty well. And I think some people are going to put that sack on him where he went to go cut.
Ah.
That was not on him. If you go back and see it, you had Anthony Miller and Allen Robinson standing in the same spot. And Mitch was ready to throw the ball, but somebody ran the wrong route. So
wonder who.
Exactly. So to me, the offensive line only gave up one sack, and it was one maybe Mitch could have got rid of the ball, but they got some quick pressure on Charles Leno. But to go back to the scheme of that, it's one where you're in the offensive line, you're in the huddle, and you hear those calls, and you kind of like, oh, this is easy. It's almost like a playoff, because it's not one-on-one hand battling. It's not fighting your space and worrying about games and doing all that kind of stuff with a tackle or center or guard next to you. It's more you're just kind of like scoop blocking. You're taking a step to the right. I have this gap. Nobody can get in here. The guy left of me has this gap. And you know the ball's getting out quick. And you also know that you have a mobile quarterback that if a guy does get through there, might be able to outrun him, get a yard or two just running it out of bounds. But it just kind of takes the stress off of you, because you don't have that one-on-one battle right when the ball snapped.
I was reading something about how the Cowboys scrape, their linebackers scrape over more than other teams, and that because that is just the way that they do it, it allowed the Bears to strategize their blocking accordingly.
They do. So what they do is they scrape. So it's like the pirate stunt is what you call it. When the
Yarr.
They either just the, yes, exactly. The three technique or the three technique and D end kind of shoot into their gap. Say if they're on the left side of the offensive line, they're coming from the outside gap, the inside gap, the B gap to the A gap, and then the linebackers fill their responsibility. So a Rod Marinelli defense or a Lovie Smith defense, they all have gaps they have to fill. And what happens is sometimes if you can displace that by winning a one-on-one block, taking one of those pirates, go ahead, Dan.
Yarr.
Yeah, take him down a little bit too far inside and gash it. And the other thing is, watching David Montgomery, he found the holes that were there when they did that.
Yep.
And the Bears offensive line blocked it up, David found the holes and had a very good game.
I have to tell you, I'm just absolutely just raving about the Cordarrelle Patterson Euro step.
Man.
I don't know that I've ever quite seen it. We see it in basketball all the time.
Sure.
You know, that's that Manu Ginobili, or you know, you turn the corner and you make that move and go to the other side. And all of a sudden, it's like Patterson found, it's like, oh, wait, this foot is in the ground, but I can go in this direction instead. I'm like, oh, cool.
He was a non-fat, soy, sugar-free, no-foam decaf Metcalf last night. That's what he was.
But you got to say that in Joe Tessitore's voice.
I can't get that excited about anything ever. I've never been excited about anything as much as Tessitore is excited about a football game.
I don't know who does it, but who puts together, you know, the speed of the players and all that kind of stuff? I want to know how fast he got, you know, off the ball, like when he put his foot in the ground, how fast he got the full speed.
That acceleration,
me.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did see that at one point Mitchell Trubisky hit 18.4 miles per hour.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Good
that,
for him.
That I did see that, which
yeah,
I've
got the
fast.
Next gen stuff up here. It is 18.4.
Okay.
I'll look for the Cordarrelle Patterson stuff too. He's Patrick Manley, programming the next hour and a half of the show, teasing our next guests and giving you the breakdown of Bears and Cowboys. Just doing a hell of a job this morning.
We don't even really need to be here.
No, guys got it all. It's way down on the list of things I'm happy to have seen up to this point this season. But with the up and down nature of David Montgomery's game, either getting the ball or not getting the ball or being good or not being good, I was really pleased with the production last night, especially his ability to get out of tackles that he's shown all season long. He is a pretty damn good running back, in my opinion. And granted, he's a rookie and he put the ball on the turf and you cannot do that. And he's going to get knocked for it all week long in meetings, I'm sure. But that's a thumbs up, in my opinion.
No doubt. And I think one of the things that we got to see is him finally get to the second level and defeat those tacklers, not just the D linemen. You know what I mean? To see his strength against guys that are maybe closer to his size, and that was impressive. But, yeah, that's one thing where, as a fan or a coach, you applaud his effort, you know, but there's also a point where, all right, it's time to get down. You don't hear a whistle yet. So, but it was nice to see him get to the second level and show that he can break those tackles, what we saw on tape from Iowa State.
Do you think, in any way, and I know it's probably the defenses that the Bears have faced more than anything else, but do you think that the non-benching might have had some, because the before and after numbers for him after that moment are really striking. Do you think that refocused him?
I do. I wish somebody could sit him down and get the true answer to that, because I wonder, as a professional athlete or an athlete, if he just, that was kind of the, you know, screw you moment. I'm going to be me now. You've been trying to make me the Matt Nagy pocket quarterback and run your offense. I'm not comfortable with it. You benched me, you know, and everybody's talking about it nationally. You know, it's time for me to grow up and be me. And I think that's kind of what happened. I wish that maybe he'll come out in the offseason and say, yeah, that really got to me. And I had to do some soul searching and realize that I wasn't having fun, you know, playing right now, and I really enjoy this game, but I'm good at being me. I'm good at using my legs. I'm a better quarterback when I'm just looking 1-2. I'm better out of the pocket, and that's what it looks like. And you know, I'm guessing that's probably the answer, because it truly looks that way.
Will there ever be accountability for a crew of referees to miss either four or five face masking penalties? I mean, I can't. That's one that you can see. And then what? Poor Anthony Miller, he was face masked twice on the same play.
Yeah.
And he's going over to the ref like, come on!
I know. I go back to Dick Duron. He's a great man, and he gave us a great line. Because, you know, the referees come in every training camp, and they're starting to get the rust off of them. And they watch some of the practice for the week, and they're going through their stuff. And he said, in front of the team, with the referees there, kind of kissing their butt, which was kind of smart. He's like, listen, guys, these guys are the best in the world at what they do, just like you do. You guys make mistakes, they'll make mistakes. So I always go back to that, but there's also points where you can't make that many mistakes.
At some point, if you're the best in the world at what you do, we need to find another way to do this.
Right. Well, in football, I get fired.
You get benched.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, Pat, this text, as we let you go here, this text came in from the 773 like the moment we started the show, and I was hoping you could help me out with figuring out what the hell it means. It reads, one of my friends owns 4 Patrick Manley jerseys. He will be at Manley's beer thing at Timothy O'Toole's tonight to finally meet the man. What's, do you have a stalker?
I got a few of them. No.
Okay.
No, but I don't know. But I'm excited about tonight. I'm going to give me 2 seconds to pub this. There is a long snapper IPA being released tonight by Tighthead Brewery up here in Mundelein that has a great menu of beers, and just got together with them and put together a crushable IPA that's about 6.2%.
Yes.
And we will be at Timothy O'Toole's tonight at 5:30 for the first beer to be tapped. Please come by, Dan and Connor. We'll have a good time, and I think some other score guys are coming. I think Shane's coming by. Adam's coming by.
Look, now you just ruined it.
We'll put you guys in the VIP section.
If it's a beer for long snappers, it has to be shotgunned, right?
Yes, of course. The first one has to be.
Excellent. Whoa, you're going to that?
Now,
come on.
Yeah, but now we get back
You've been saying yar after pirate for 15 minutes.
Drinking around Mandalay, it's like back to the kegs at ATOs where everybody's going to be 6'5" and 280 pounds. And I'll be able to find my way in and around them. All right, good luck with that, Pat. Have fun, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Patrick Manley, the segment brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Is your family ready for cold and flu season? Knowing when it's the flu lets you know when to call your doctor. The flu brings a fever, so be prepared with a thermometer you can trust. The Exergen Temporal Scanner, backed by more than 70 clinical studies. This is a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on a Friday because the Bears played on Thursday. You see how that works?
Yes.
We take phone calls. Happy to do so. Lines are open. 312-644-6767. The Bears are 7-6, and I can let's again go through the actual playoff percentages here. I'm going to run hundreds of thousands of simulated seasons. Oh, you already?
I got them in front of me. Yeah, no, I saved the bookmark. They're right here.
Okay. All right. So let's just go through it to make sure that we're all working from the same page.
Happy to do so. It's Built Ford Tough Bears Monday. Burnson McKnight on the score.
Third down and 9. They're bringing extra. Throw outside. Patterson at the 35. Tries to avoid a tackle to the 40. Gets the first down to the 45. To the 50. Running away from Cowboys. Inside the 35 and brought down from behind. On the numbers. Deep into Cowboy territory. Just escaping the defense, and a big run after the catch. A 33-yard play and a mighty big first down to start the third quarter.
Yeah, that was very cool stuff from him. Now, that is giving feet. I know it's Anthony Miller's term, but when you've got the bright yellow shoes on, that is the bestowing of feet upon someone. Here are feet.
So I don't have how quickly he got up to full speed, Patterson, on that play. But NFL's Next Gen Stats clocked him at 16.71 miles an hour on that 33-yard reception. That's not all that fast.
Right.
But I have to imagine the athleticism there in getting from, you know, that move where he gave feet up to full speed is something that not a lot of people can do. I mean, for instance, J.P. Holtz was at 16.67 on his 30-yard reception.
He was not giving feet.
No. He was trying to find feet and has been for years now. Now, Patterson is one of the faster guys in the NFL, but it's the short distance speed, the amount which he gets up to speed is fast. The fastest run of the night, guy who had the highest top speed all night last night.
Was it Anthony Miller on the touchdown?
It was not Anthony Miller on the touchdown. It's Mitch. On the 9-yard run, he got himself to 19 miles, and according to NFL's Next Gen Stats.
Really?
And then the 32-yard kickoff by Cordero is at 18.5.
Wow. The bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. You want to sign a one-day contract with the Chicago Wolves and earn a $5,000 signing bonus? Visit chicagowolves.com for details. Then visit the Sprint store in Arlington Heights between 1 and 3 p.m. on December 14th for your chance to win. 312-644-6767. I know Shane's been screaming at people. I'm not sure what's going on over there. He's got the scowl on his face.
If you don't like the uniforms, enjoy the win.
Seriously?
But they didn't look good.
The call. I love those uniforms.
Do you want one of the callers? Next guy, you want them?
It's a good look.
I'm not going to tell you how to do your job.
I will.
Sure.
You want the next
Why
one?
Not?
Not necessarily. I think we should. We have a process.
Dan still wants to be able to bus toss you if it's bad.
We trust our process.
Oh we're going to bus toss. Oh, absolutely.
I'm not playing score hello, but look, you're not your first rodeo, and if I just enjoy seeing your face turn red sometimes when you're screaming at somebody.
Did you notice from Mitch last night when he's at the microphone talking that he's got I wouldn't call it salty, but it's a much more business-like short answer Mitch than it has been over the last couple of weeks. And he's been that way, I think, maybe like 3 weeks, something like that. I don't know. It just seems...
I don't mind it.
We'll talk with Rich Campbell a little. No, I don't mind it at all. But it's a change, right? It's definitely a change from how he typically addresses the media, whether it's after a win or after a loss. He's kind of got a rhythm, a thing to him, and it's a different gear for him now. And I just wonder what that means for him. I mean, he's made that choice. Why is
it's
interesting
a little more
to me, and it coincides with some seriously good play.
It's a little more businesslike, and it might just be because he's understanding where he is in the business of things right now. When we started the show talking about what his performance means to the people connected to him and the decisions that those people are going to make about him. This investment, the investment of draft picks to trade up, the investment that they've made in trying to build an offense around him, and the literal investment of another $24 million in a fifth-year option. Everything remains up in the air here. Like you say, at the moment, if you had to decide, you probably wouldn't. Rick Camp disagrees. He thinks they've already made the decision, and you think you can see it from here.
Yeah, I think you can.
If this kind of solid play continues, and he looks more like he's back on track from last year's performance, then they do it.
I'm not letting myself get fooled by anything yet. You know, I mean, that's just kind of the stance I'm taking because of the depths that everything was at for four straight weeks. And really, I mean, call it seven. That thing against Washington, you can basically throw away because how bad that defense, how bad that whole team is. But yes, it's been better. And yeah, that he's rescued himself and that Matt Nagy has helped rescue him from the pit of despair that he was in. That's impressive. That's good coaching. That's good football is what it is. But the question remains, and I think even the most strident of Mitch detractors can still yell and scream about it, how consistently can you play like this? Because even if your great games hold the number of throws, like last night, where right. You're going, whoa, every quarterback has bad throws, even in their good games, except for Aaron Rodgers for a span of about 4 years. Every good quarterback has a couple of throws where you go, man, that's not quite right. But when Mitch throws those balls, he's in the red zone more often than you care to have him in the red zone throwing those football. Mm-hmm. You cannot make those decisions then and there, and that still worries me.
I don't know if he's ever going to stop doing that, though. Know that if that is something that is just a hardware flaw, that no matter how many times you uninstall and reinstall software, that it's the machine that's broken?
Yeah, I think it's still completely fair to question just how consistently Mitch can play like this. That obviously limits the Bears' ceiling, and I think that's still very much on the table. I think that conversation is still very much a part of who the Bears are as you end 2019 and as the 2020 season, next season, really starts.
Brian Pace is just, he's trying to make fetch happen. Mm-hmm. So he's looking for any sign possible. So when he's had multiple games in a row and he can say to himself, well, if he doesn't quite do as well next year, we can still get rid of him before that option really takes hold.
Right.
That's why I think it's a done deal. It's
because of the low risk.
Yeah. It's obviously avoiding something incredibly unforeseen like injury or something like that. If we stay in the pretty much as long as if he doesn't play well towards the end of the year, if he's been in the spectrum of what he's been this season, then, you know,
it's still true that the easiest way Ryan Pace builds a Super Bowl contender for 2020 is with Mitch playing adequate to above average NFL quarterback more often than not. That's still true. Given the price tag he's going to have next season, $9 million, regardless of a fifth-year option, you know, let's take that off the table for just a moment. The easiest way for Ryan Pace to construct a winner, whether this season turns out as one or not, is with Mitch playing well. That's just NFL economics. I don't know how likely that is.
Yeah, it's a practical way.
I don't think they do either.
Of thinking about it, right? It's they're talking about it too.
Damn right. Of course they are. Not only are they going to have to assess.
Is this Matt in Lake Forest?
Just wondering. I'll hang
what
up
are you
and listen.
Is Trubisky?
Not only are they going to have to assess what will likely be a very complicated quarterback market, but they will also, with their 2 second-round picks, they'll also have to assess a very complicated quarterback draft class that's even more complicated because of Tua Tagovailoa's injury that may slip, assuming he declares, that may slip him down. And I'm not saying that he slips down to where the Bears could pick, but his dropping X spots then drops other quarterbacks
yep.
and might put somebody in your, you know, cloud of players right around where you're picking that really makes you have to consider taking that quarterback there.
This text from the 630. They're not the Chicago Wolverines. They're the Chicago Bears.
Oh, gee, good God.
Okay. This is a uniform issue, apparently. First of all, Michigan's helmets are awesome. Michigan's uniforms are awesome.
Yeah.
And these Bears' uniforms are also awesome.
Correct.
That's just a fact. They look great.
If A is awesome and B is awesome.
And B looks like A.
And C is awesome.
Right?
All right?
There are
cool.
a lot of crappy throwback uniforms out there.
Yeah, there are.
These are not one of them.
No. I got zero complaints. Ever since they first rolled it out, ever since we first walked into Dick's Sporting Goods in Skokie and they were all everywhere and there's all 52s around it. I'm like, oh, yeah.
They look cool.
Oh, that one. That,
yeah, it's not
sell
the Steelers Bumblebee ones or something
oh,
like that.
So
or those, remember
the
when
Charlie Browns? Yeah.
The Eagles went with like
awful.
The sky blue.
Awful.
And,
yep.
Yeah, that was.
The Broncos had those weird uniforms with the spiral socks that looked terrible.
Yes. Yeah, they were yellow, right?
Just such a strange,
yellow and brown.
Strange
yep.
thing.
It looks like Wyoming.
Oh, they did kind of look like Wyoming. I would still watch the Buccaneers play in the creamsicles, though. I would watch that happen. It
yeah,
looked
that,
terrible, but I'd enjoy watching it.
That was an important part of my childhood, is knowing that I could see that color on my television and know that bad football was occurring wherever that
turn
was.
Turn it off.
No, not necessarily. Well, not if James Wilder was stepping on people and running roughshod on them.
That's right. I forgot you had a James Wilder thing.
And then, of course, there was the day you realized that the name of the quarterback of the Buccaneers is Jerry Goldstein. I'm like, wait. What? Jerry Goldstein, back to pass. Like, why are they letting their dentist quarterback? And then I look at it. It was spelled.
Whose agent negotiated a snap?
Right, exactly. You know what? I'm just going to get out there instead. It was G-O-L-D. I think it's S-T-E-Y-N. That was like, remember Rod Bernstein?
Yeah.
My dad and I were watching it. He played, I don't know if he Texas A&M, because he ended up being in the NFL for a while.
Okay.
And like, oh my God. And he took off his helmet. Like, that's not Cousin Rod. And it was.
Did you immediately assume he sucked?
Well, sure. But it was Bernstine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, damn it.
So
at some point, we got to, you know, we got to get back to the Luckman era. Now, give us the numbers.
Yeah, okay. So here's what it comes out to. Right now, the Bears have a 5% chance, according to 538, at making the playoffs.
Sorry, I just looked at the title of what Rachel Ray is.
Oh, don't do that.
Television.
Don't do. We do that during
oh
breaks. I don't know what the hell she's doing today.
That is a
I'm not looking. I'm not looking.
Don't a one.
I think
skillet.
She just threw over. I think she just put cheese or chicken on top of what I saw on the ground in
the
pedway.
Nope. That is a one skillet.
It's vomit skillet.
Buffalo chicken shepherd's pie.
That's really bad.
Ugh.
All right. So the Bears have a 5% chance right now.
Stop.
Would you stop?
Seriously, somebody get the big hook and get just makers.
It's all in one pot, so some of the bag covers the other bag.
Are those parsnips?
Maybe.
Jesus, woman, stop. I'm Rachel Ray, and today I'm going to make brown things.
Listen, it wouldn't be this way.
Taste bad.
It wouldn't be this bad.
Somebody say something.
You would just let me put Young and the Restless on while we do the show so that Hunter King can be on the television instead of Rachel Ray.
Here we have some barf chicken with a nice demi-glaze.
Doing at some point in the meeting, say we're not doing a one skillet buffalo chicken.
Does this mean we have to
pie?
Do the playoff odds after the break? Is that what this means?
God.
Do you see what you've done to us, Rachel Ray?
I need a bathroom.
Do you see what she's cooking? My God. All right, playoff odds, scenarios, and all the craziness and phone calls if you want on a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday. That's next. Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Well, our confidence is real high, but we just got to take things 1 week at a time, man. We can't get the big head just because we won 3 straight games. We lost games before that we should have won. So, you know, we got some cleaning up to do. You know, we still made some mistakes today that we're gonna fix, myself included. We're just prepared for this journey, man.
All right, okay. Sounds like the right messages are being sent because they understand that they're 7-6.
Yeah, and could have won a handful of games.
They're not 11-2.
No.
They're 7-6. So try to sound like a 7-6 team with a 5% playoff chance should sound. You've got all the numbers.
I do have the number. Right now, according to 538, the Bears have a 5% chance of making the playoffs. I think there's a rounding thing, so it's something like 4.75 or something like that. If the Bears win their next two, it's Green Bay and Kansas City, those percentage points vault up to 23%.
Yep.
Now, let's play with some of the math just a little bit here.
Now, let's say Akeem Hicks is coming back here too, which might skew things a little bit.
That would be nice. It'd be very nice to get Akeem Hicks back, especially against Green Bay, even if he is playing at, what, I don't know, like 70%, something like that. If you manage the snaps correctly and see what kind of leverage he can give you. Now, Bears fans ought to be Seahawks fans and then Cowboys fans and then subsequently Niners fans over the next 3 weeks, because those are the teams that the LA Rams will play. And if they lose out, it's possible. While the Bears win their next two, those chances go up to 35%. Let's get a little deeper. The Minnesota Vikings lose to the Lions. I know, big ask. And then lose to the Chargers, which, hey, the Chargers beat Green Bay. The Chargers beat the Bears. Mm-hmm. If they lose those two games and then lose to the Green Bay Packers, the Bears are a playoff team.
Go Bears!
That's as simple as it gets.
I need to grab this audio. Apparently, Jerry Jones just made his radio appearance on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
Did he make the noises you make while watching Rachel Ray?
Well, all would, but Jerry was asked what his response would be to fans saying the Dallas Cowboys quit on Jason Garrett. He apparently said, this is bull bleep, and hung up on them.
Well?
I don't have to put up with this.
Oh, boy.
This is in real time. Apparently, this just happened.
Oh, man. I just...
Not a happy post-game.
That was not a well-done game by Jason Garrett.
No.
It just wasn't.
No, it really wasn't.
I'll eat just a little bit of the humble pie here, I suppose. I had praised Kellen Moore.
That's a pecan pie out by the dumpster.
No, I'm always eating that. Still in the dumpster, by the way. Not that I've thought about it.
You have.
I checked, apparently.
You went to visit it.
I placed it very cleanly on top of a large plastic bag, so I could theoretically go out to the community dumpster out back there, and it's still a nice look. It's naturally refrigerated. I give Kellen Moore a lot of credit for getting Dak Prescott into situations. A lot like, you know, you've seen Matt Nagy get Mitch Trubisky into situations he's really good at. You know, a lot of play action for the Cowboys early on in the season. They scored 30-plus each of their first three games, I think is what it was. It was against really bad defenses. Fine. That's what makes you a 6-6 team, is kind of evening those performances out against better teams. But that just, I mean, last night was really poorly done by the Cowboys offensively. It really was. And there was some garbage time effort in there where the Bears had dropped back into a whole bunch of coverage. Please stop watching Rachel Ray while we're talking.
She just covered it with jalapeno peppers.
Okay, great. And people are clapping. It's like a Clockwork Orange in the studio.
Shut that down. Like, there should be a SWAT team in there.
I can't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't help you.
I'm sorry.
I can't help you.
I torture myself.
What? That's and Jerry Jones and Cowboys fans have tortured themselves watching that team.
Yeah, there were too many
times.
That
is a really frustrating team.
Especially after that first drive, and you think, oh, well, you know, this is fun while it lasted. This is a serious and talented team, and they just step on your neck.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, wait, what? It's like a different game started.
Did you see, there's no audio of this, and believe me, we've looked, but Eddie Jackson in the postgame locker room comments was kind of mentioning that he, early on in that first drive, kind of noticed that Roquan Smith had picked up some sort of injury. Something was wrong with him. He wasn't feeling all that great. And I know the broadcast showed...
horrible drive.
Yeah, on the touchdown run, Zeke kind of drops that shoulder and Roquan is basically just kind of standing there and trying to take him on with just a body. Runs right through him, touchdown scored. And I think Aikman kind of presented it as a possible injury situation there after Roquan walked off the field. But it sounds like that got picked up much earlier in that drive and obviously contributed to his inability to fill some spaces and find some places to make tackles and plays and whatnot. That said, and we talked about it with Patrick Manley too, but Kevin Pierre-Louis played really well.
He did. He really did. And it was in all aspects too. Moving forward in the pass rush, he took a really good angle on a pass defended near the bottom of the screen at one point late in the game where it was legit closing speed.
Yep.
And he chose a good angle quickly. You know, that's a nice play. And that's when a coach tells these guys, you never know in this league when you're going to get your chance. And you better not screw it up when you get that opportunity because things happen.
He had the one thing where he's like off the field and then back on the field. And you know if he was supposed to be on or off, that whole thing. They managed to get out of it okay. The guy was – he's the backup to the backup to the backup to the backup. So fine, you're going to have one. And Nick Kwiatkowski, I had like two plays – I forget the name of the Cowboys tight end that made a couple of nice plays. He's fairly athletic too. Blake Jarwin had a couple of nice plays where Kwiatkowski got lost. That's his thing, right? I mean, he's not quite as fast, but he played well. And I guess you could say, as far as some of the injuries that the Bears defense have suffered, at least they're the inside backers in a base 3-4.
Right.
They're guys you can listen. Trevathan is better than Kwiatkowski, I think, and Roquan Smith is better than Kevin Pierre-Louis, more than likely, but at least it's those two guys on the interior. And if you're getting Hicks back next week against Green Bay, his presence ought to help those two play more than maybe anybody else. I mean, you know, the guys on either side of him on the defensive line, obviously, but those two linebackers ought to be helped by Hicks some. You can see a scenario whereby the Bears get out of those injuries in particular. Missing Prince Amukamara for another week would be very difficult. He's got that hamstring, and Kevin Toller played fine.
I liked his activity level.
He played fine.
Played fast.
I'm cool with that.
The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves Holiday Flex Pack gives you 10 ticket vouchers, a Wolves knit hat and scarf, a commemorative hockey puck, and more, all for one low price. Get yours at ChicagoWolves.com. Rich Campbell joins us on Built Ford Tough Bears Mondays, and it is a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on a Friday. I want to talk to him about Danny Trevathan, when he might return, and about what...
All the injuries the Bears picked up, too.
Yep, and what happened last night that could be replicated from here on in. I'm looking at this like these are the playoffs. The Bears are in the playoffs now. They just start early because they didn't win enough games.
Because they were very bad
for a month. Right, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes some. Rich Campbell is our next guest. It's Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on a Friday. Bernstein McKnight on the score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.